You have such a sweet voice. Sweeter than honey, maybe. And you sing with explosion. That is the background. How are you today, church? Parang hindi naman. And on behalf of the young people, thank you so much for your support all these years. And also on behalf of the young people, in turn, we ask that you would continue to pray for us as a young people group. We are a growing group. I say we because I joined them. I'm one of the Lord's worker for them. And we have a good relationship since then, even during my time. And for those of you who may not know, our church started with only 4 young people. Did you know that? Only 4 young people. So, since there are more than 4 young people, you would never know what will take place in the end. And it's a wonderful thing to be able to have an opportunity to work alongside them and to see them grow in the Lord. And I know that there are many more young people. You know, maybe your friend or your neighbor or your relative or your sons and daughters, we meet every Friday and I hope to see you. For those of you who may not have the opportunity to join our young people group, I don't know what's taking place, but can you hear me properly? It looks like that my microphone seems to be going on and on. Are we all good? Amen. Well, this morning, the Lord bless us with our text coming from Romans chapter 14. And Apostle Paul had been addressing various aspects of believers' interpersonal relationships with each other in the book of Romans. After the Lord used him to put together 11 chapters concerning doctrinal theology, the rest of the chapters is about Christian living. And in here we could see in the book of Romans, the Lord used Apostle Paul to put together more than 3 chapters. Chapters 12, 13, 14, and beginning part of chapter 15. We could see this topic, and on to chapter 14 gives further exhortation concerning the weak and the strong believers in relation to personal convictions or perspective in non-essential matters. Things that are within the realm of Christian liberty. Actually, the believers in Rome, which is consisted of a majority of Gentile believers, and Jewish minority. And they were divided over special dietary and special days. That was the context here, special holidays. The good news is that this non-essential matters does not and will not affect our salvation because our salvation is secure. But the sad thing is that it affects harmony in the church or harmony among believers. In one way or the other in today's church or in the believers throughout the ages had to deal with similar problems or tensions in disputable matters. To an extent, the first Filipino Baptist Church is not exempted. And that is the reality. Let's pray. Father, thank you for that you have allowed us this morning to be able to come to church, to worship you, to adore you, to thank you, and to be able to learn from your word. Please help your servant to speak clearly for the edification, for the building up of your people. In Jesus' name. Amen. You see, Christian liberty is the freedom we have in the Lord in deciding on issues and activities where the scripture is silent or do not speak clearly or specifically. Let me give you some examples, the things that we do. As Filipinos, we like music, don't we? If you're going to look at the YouTube, you will see how Filipinos sing away. And there's a lot of good singers. You know, there are believers who would only listen to Christian music. They do not listen to other music other than the Christian songs. And there are those believers in the Lord who would listen to all kinds of music. And there are those people who have problems, and they were saying, do not play non-Christian music in the church. That's why it's called the church. Why do you have to play music that is not part of the church? And there are those churches who only use, and they're saying with this. They only use hymns. There are churches who only use contemporary songs. And there are churches like us, we use both. We use the hymns and we use contemporary songs. How about you? Do you like movies? Do you watch teleserie? Which one do you prefer? The drama, which is good for your eyes? There are many times when you will have to cry and cleanse your eyes anyway for free. Some people prefer the comedy. It's good for the heart and takes away stress. But there are believers who do not go to movies. They're saying, going there, they consider it a sin. Well, how about the clothing styles? Some people are modern in how they represent themselves. Some people are conservative. Some people are in between. Some people like to like the loose. And some people like it fit. By the way, last Wednesday, at least to those who may have Yahoo account, I have a Yahoo account, and through the news in Yahoo, which presents one of the latest in today's fashion. You know what it is? It is a see-through jeans. Yes, I saw it last Wednesday. They have see-through from top to bottom. You can check the internet. And there are also pair of jeans that have multiple citrus spots. That is the fashion of today. Well, how about Sunday activities? There are those who say, do not work on Sunday. It is the day of the Lord. Can you imagine if that is for me, then you will get mad at me. What do you think I'm doing right now? I'm preaching. And a part of my job description is to preach. So I am basically working before you. If you're not allowed to work on Sunday, then I am in big trouble. I should be going home now. There are those who say, do not shop on Sunday. There are those who would say, why should you go to Wonderland on Sunday? There's Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. Leave the Sunday alone for the Lord. Only church-related activities should take place on Sunday. Anything less is questionable or perhaps sinful. This is the position of some people that we know. During my younger days, I used to play basketball a lot. And many leagues will take place Saturday and Sunday. And we say that, can you imagine if we play on Sunday, then we will miss the worship service. We will also miss a lot of activities in the church. And we would jokingly say to each other, you know, if you play basketball today, you're going to get hurt. But that's not the right thing to say too. Some prefer sports that are non-contacts. Some people like to play volleyball. Some people like to play bowling. Some people like to play golf because there is no physical contact. And some people say, no, I don't like those things. I like hockey. When you could actually become physical. I like to watch wrestling. I like to see the MMA. I like to see Pacquiao really beat the guy. And some people say, I don't like those things. They're too violent. They're too physical. And this is reality, folks. There are things that can be right for one person, and there are things that can be wrong for another person. And this is just the reality. Apostle Paul devotes nearly two chapters in Christian Liberty, although it doesn't talk about boxing. In his discussion, he addresses various convictions and contentions between the weak and the strong Christians in the church at Rome. And most likely the weak were primarily the Jewish Christians who clung to the observance of the law concerning what they would eat, when they should work, and when they should worship the Lord. And the strong were the Gentiles who treat all food are all good to eat, and all days are alike. And both groups were divided in two. And we see that in our text this morning. The weak believe that if the Bible does not specifically approve something, then it is wrong. Those that were strong, on the other hand, believe that if the Bible does not specifically forbidden something, then it is okay. Take a look at verse 1, please. In our text, chapter 14, Romans, verse 1, on chapter 14. Receive one who is weak in the faith, but not to disputes over doubtful things. In other translation, it says, accept who is weak in the faith. Both words carry the idea of welcoming and embracing those whose faith is weak. Well, somebody may be wondering, Pastor, why did you say mutual acceptance in your sermon notes? Our text says, accept the weak only. Well, you are right. But you should take into consideration that the Apostle Paul was primarily addressing the strong. You could take a look briefly on verse 1 of chapter 15. But it doesn't mean that the weak in faith should not accept the strong in the faith in disputable matters. It is a mutual acceptance. Now, is there such a thing as an absolute weak believer or an absolute strong believer? Every believer have struggles, and every believer have weak points and strong points. We're not going to tackle all 23 verses of chapter 14, but please take a look at verse 2 at this point. Verse 2. For one believes he may eat all things, but he who is weak eats only vegetables. Let not him who eats despise him who does not eat, and let not him who does not eat judge him who eats. You see, the weaker in faith eats only vegetable and refuses to eat meat for fear that it had been improperly prepared, not in accordance with the law. You have to understand that the Jewish community, the Jewish believers came from this background. And also the fear is that it may have been offered to idols. In our situation today, there are believers who are vegetarians, and there's nothing wrong with that. There are those who does not eat chicken. There are those who does not eat beef. There are those who does not eat pork. There are those who does not eat one of the delicacy of our community, the blood pudding or the dinuguan. But there are those believers who, whenever they have gathering, that is one of their favorites. There are those who does not eat fish. And there are those who eat fish, the whole fish, from the head to the tail, and sucking up the eye. Sorry for the graphic And there are those who like the shrimps headless. And there are those who like to cook and eat their shrimps from head to tail. And that is the reality. And there are those who eat everything. Whatever they see, they eat. On verse 6, Apostle Paul says, the weak and the strong prepared the food, bowed their heads, gave their thanks, and asked blessing from the Lord. So why make big fuss about it? The second disputed matter in our text, that one person esteems one day above another. For the Jewish believers, this day would probably be the Sabbath. And for the Gentile, it would probably be Sunday, as they call them, the Lord's Day. And there are those who are allergic to hold worship services on Saturdays, because another religious group is called the Seventh Day Adventist, and they don't want to be identified. It is quite interesting that there are many churches today, whether you believe it or not, maybe you are aware about it or not, that they hold their worship service on Saturday for many reasons that I know. And how about weddings? Aren't most weddings are done on Saturdays? Sometimes they do it on Friday for other reasons, especially it's cheaper on Friday. We all know that. For receptions. Oh, how about the baptismal service? Some people do it on Saturdays. And the dedication and all of those things. The beauty is that there is no contention in midweek gathering. On Wednesday prayer meetings, it's an open for everyone. But there are those who look on every day as alike. Regardless of your practices, the exhortation in our text is that you should not judge each other on what you eat and which day is more sacred than others. The strong in the faith must not despise or look down the weaker brethren. The weak in faith must not condemn the stronger in the faith. Why? Because in our text, God had accepted them both. And who are we to judge? Who is the judge? We are not the judge. It's only the Lord Jesus Christ is the judge. You know, in our text, it says, accept one another. Three times direct, twice in chapter 14, one in chapter 15, and one indirect. Have the same message. Mutual acceptance. You probably have heard this principle. In essentials, unity. In non-essentials, liberty. In everything, grace. I know it's not easy, but that is what we should do. Uphold mutual acceptance and uphold mutual accountability. Please take a look at verse 7. It says, for none of us lives to himself and no one dies to himself. No Christian is an island. No man is an island. We do not live in a vacuum. Our action affects others. We need to consider our accountability to others. Each believer, though free to have his or her conviction, must also be careful that those convictions and freedom don't hinder the spiritual growth of fellow believer, especially the weak. Look at verse 13 with me. It says, therefore, let us not judge one another anymore, but rather resolve this, not to put a stumbling block or cause to fall in our brother's way. And this is not the first time that Apostle Paul addressed the same thing, the same principle. We see that in 1 Corinthians chapter 8. And believe it or not, he was speaking about food there too. The danger is that the weak brother in the Lord will do something that his conscience condemns. Let me give you another example. And I had been using my personal example because this is quite sensitive. I don't want to use someone else's testimony. When I was during my youth days, at this church, I came to know the Lord way back in the 80s. And then I did not grow up in a Christian home. I came to know the Lord when I was 21 years old. And I had vices in life. I used to smoke at least one pack a day. I used to drink and all of those things. And the leaders in our group were teaching us about Christian living. How to give up these vices. And the thing is that, although this fellow is teaching about this, but when we went to his house, there's wine in the cupboards, and he told us that he would drink one cup or one copeta whenever he likes it. And I was disappointed. I was almost victimized. You see, the danger sometimes. And I was only not even a year old Christian then. Sometimes the thing that we do could put a stumbling block for the benefit of a fellow believer. Take a look at verse 15. Apostle Paul explains that it is also possible to hurt or destroy a fellow believer. When another Christian sees you doing what his own conscience condemns, it could grieve him or hurt him or causes him pain. Now, the word destroy here has nothing to do with the assurance of salvation. Salvation stands or falls in Christ. Apostle Paul is referring to the loss of peace and effectivity and spiritual growth. He lays out two motivations for our conduct, why we should be careful. He said you should love one for the other. And time again in the Bible, it says, love one another. Jesus Christ says to his disciple, a new command I give you, love one another. In John chapter 13. And then secondly, why we should have good motivation is this, that Christ died on the cross in order for us to enjoy salvation and to enjoy Christian life. And Christ's death should compel us to demonstrate sensitivity. You know, you should never encourage a friend to dress up for Halloween who thinks it is idolatrous. And this is true. It is happening year after year for many people. You should not play cards, you know, the 52 playing cards, in front of people who looks at it as an evil card. Because there are those people that we know that they had broken family because of gambling parents. You know the history of domino? Not the pizza. The game of domino. You know, archives tell us that it was invented by two young people. Baptists. Young people. Why? Because they were forbidden to play the 52 playing cards. So they invented the 42 domino tiles. And moreover, in verse 16, therefore do not let what is for you a good thing be spoken of as evil. Sadly, even unbelievers can legitimately, you know, speak of our freedom in Christ as evil, and it comprises compromises our testimony. You see, the world is watching us. Anything that we say and do, people are watching us. You know, many people, the unbelievers' biggest reason why they rejected God is what they see Christians do and say. Others may have a wrong perspective on what it means to be a Christian. But many times our liberty can harm our ability to tell the world about the Lord. Let me give you an example, at least to those who goes to office. You may have the sense of freedom to talk about your faith freely at your workplaces. And there's nothing wrong with that. But those you work with do not feel the same way. Consequently, in both cases, they look down on you. Your coworkers assume that during office hours, you are trying to proselyte. You know, sometimes what we intend to do for good and what really is good in our lives can be spoken of as evil when we do not restrain ourselves when it is appropriate. We don't want non-Christians to say, "Why should I be a Christian? You people of the same church, you don't get along. Why should I become a Christian? I do not see peace among you. I do not see happiness among you because you are too particular in many non-essential things. Why should I be joining your church?" You and I are accountable for what we do and what we say to each other. And in relation to that, we will also give an account to God. It says on verse 10, we will all stand before God's judgment seat. The believers in the Lord will give an account for their actions. Things we did for Christ, the quality, the quantity, the motivation will be put to the test. It is not a matter of you're going to be losing your salvation or not. It does not. It is already done deal. It was done at the cross of Calvary and it was done when you place your trust in Christ. This one is different. This one has to do with either you get a reward from the Lord or you're not getting a reward from the Lord. So the exhortation then in our text is this, that you do not be a stumbling block, but you become a channel of blessing to one another. And the Lord will reward you for doing that. Our example is this, mutual edification. Take a look at verse 19 in our text, please. I'll be reading NIV first, and then New American Standard Bible. It says, "Let us therefore make every effort to do what leads to peace and to mutual edification." In the New American Standard Bible, it says, "So then we pursue the things which makes our peace, for peace and building up one another." And we could see two important things here. Number one, make every effort to do what leads to peace. Then Jesus Christ says in the Sermon on the Mount, "Blessed are the peacemakers." And in relation to that, equally, blessed are the peacekeepers. Not the peacemaker only, but also peacekeepers. Jesus Christ says, "Peace I leave you, peace I give you for everybody's benefit and enjoyment." And peace is a beautiful thing. It is a powerful thing. The book of Proverbs says, "Those who promote peace will reap joy." A heart at peace gives life to the body. You know, practically, if you have no enemy, you enjoy life. True? You could sleep well. You could enjoy good health. There is no stress. Number two, it says, make every effort to do what leads to mutual edification, to build each other. And this is the major point in our text. By God's grace, the weak and the strong believer needs to grow individually and corporately. Generally speaking, the weak in the faith needs to grow in the knowledge of the Lord. On the other hand, the strong believer needs to grow how to practice Christian liberty with the love of the Lord. I attended this church a while back, And during the early part of the service, normally in our church, and there's nothing wrong with it, we sing the Welcome to the Family. But the church that I went to, they have another song during that time when you shake each other's hand. And they would sing that song, and I love you with the love of the Lord. They use that to express love for one another. I'm not saying that next Sunday we change. This is just for the sake of our discussion. And sometimes things that we do could encourage someone. The weak and the strong must try to understand and adjust to each other's conviction in non-essentials. If and when necessary, it says, it is better to give up your Christian liberty for the sake of your fellow believer. Take a look at verse 21 on chapter 14. What does it say? It is better not to eat meat or drink wine or to do anything else that will cause your brother to fall. You know, as Christians, our middle name is sacrifice. Sometimes that is what we need to take. Though everything is permissible, but not everything is constructive. And that is the case. I would like to leave with you a couple of passages in Scripture as I close. And I encourage you to memorize them. And along with that is an implication from our text. Take a look at the last two verses of our text in chapter 14, which reads, so whatever you believe about these things, keep between yourself and God. The non-essential things. Blessed is the man who does not condemn himself by what he approves. But whoever has doubt is condemned if they eat, because their eating is not from faith. And everything that does not come from faith is sin. Now, the letter of Paul to the believers in Rome implies that there should be guidelines in every organization like any local church. And that's why chapter 14, this is guidelines in the believers in Rome. And there is church in Rome. Each church has its own guidelines. Can you imagine if there is no guidelines, it would be chaotic. And these guidelines are biblically based. But although they are biblically based, they are not perfect. Because the only guidelines that is perfect is the Bible. When you put up another guideline, it's a man-made guideline, although it is backed up by Bible verses, that cannot be perfect because that is not a Bible. Now, if you have problem with that, then I would encourage you to study Romans chapter 13, verses 1 to 7, concerning guidelines. And may I share for the last time this principle. In essentials, in major doctrines, it's got to be unity. Now, in non-essentials, it is liberty. And then in everything, it is grace. And finally, in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 31, so whether we eat or drink or whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. And this is our ultimate goal. The glory of God. It has nothing to do with you and me anymore. It has to do with God Himself. And it is my prayer that you and I will always be a blessing to one another. And God's people say, I'd like to invite everyone to stand up, those who can stand up, and turn your hymn book to number 452. We'll be singing the first and the third verse of 452, and let's sing our closing song prayerfully.